Have you been looking for love in all the wrong places? So did today's guest, Alicia Miller. She bounced from one unhealthy relationship to the next until one was so bad that it forced her to find love elsewhere again. Except this time, she looked for love. It was deep within herself. Follow Alicia's journey to self-love and finding the kind love of her life. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you and create your path to find the kind love of your life. Alicia Miller gets vulnerable sharing her drama-filled and dramatic past while ignoring the hurt little girl that wanted to just be loved. We're going to talk with Alicia Miller in a moment, and first, a mini masterclass. When you've experienced abusive, narcissistic, controlling, or toxic relationships, or you seem to keep attracting some form of unhealthy relationship, you may think that you'll never experience the kind, loving, mutually respectful relationship that you really want. So for sure, there are important steps to get there. And I give that all to you in my 11 Pillars to Freedom Fulfillment Guide. So just go to www.theloveiskindnetwork.com to get that. It's easy when you've experienced abuse, whether it's been narcissistic, controlling, toxic relationship, whatever it is, to look at the world as unfair. And the truth is, the world is unfair many times. But you have a choice. You can continue to live your life looking at the world around and seeing all the wrong, the bad, and the ugly. You can continue to blame others and blame your past. There's a difference between acknowledging your past, not denying the reality of what did happen to you, and living in your past. The past is done. It was painful. It was awful. It should have never happened. You didn't deserve to receive all the bad and awful things that happened to you. Listen, the past does not define who you are. You get to define who you are. Your thoughts and your beliefs only are what define you. I'm going to say that again. Your thoughts and your beliefs only are what define you. You can choose to think, I'm broken, no one will want me. You can choose to think that everyone out there is going to hurt or abuse me. You can choose to be angry at your life and at yourself. You can choose to lead a life where you find fault in others. That's one way to live your life. I don't think it's a very enjoyable way of life. It sounds pretty exhausting. I know, because I did that too. Then one day you wake up like I did and you decide no more. You accept the past as something that happened to you. But now you decide you want to look forward and create what you desire. That work will be the hardest and the most rewarding of your life. And that's why a lot of people don't do it. They don't want to take the work. They don't want to do the work. They don't want to put the time in. They don't want to look at themselves. But listen, the sooner you make a decision to look deep inside, the sooner you will have a life where you can experience more joy than you thought possible. The sooner you can be with a kind, loving, and caring partner. It takes that first step for you because you deserve an awesome life. And it's up to you to say yes. My challenge to you is to say yes to yourself and commit to doing whatever it takes for however long it takes to break open that amazing you who is buried under all those fears and doubts, because truly she wants to live her full life. Give yourself that gift. The only way to move forward and create an impact in your life is to know where you're at, where you want to go, and what's holding you back. Get started by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you'll need to do. If you're serious about evolving into a new empowered you who can show up as that confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. Today, we're going to meet Alicia Miller, core emotional healing and candida expert, who takes you down her path of healing so that you can heal, love yourself, and believe in yourself to live the life you desire. Thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast, produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Alicia Miller. Welcome, Alicia. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad I get to look at your beautiful background. Those who can't see it, it's gorgeous.
Thanks, Rosie. It's great to be here and be with you and have this conversation. And it's great to be in Costa Rica as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for our listener who hasn't heard of you, I want to share a little bit. Alicia is the founder of Core Emotional Healing and a candida expert from the culmination of 10 years of intensive healing with experiential therapy training and empathic, psychological, and intuitive gifts. Alicia created the Core Emotional Healing process to heal the wounded inner child, addressing the emotional root cause of candida, autoimmune, disordered eating, perfectionism, codependency, and many other symptoms and problematic relationship patterns. Wow, I just can't wait to get into all of that. So welcome. This is going to be so exciting to have this discussion with you.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background, why you end up doing that. What was happening?
Yeah. My awakening was the first one that made me wake up was when I was 30. I left a narcissist who I was engaged to I was with him for 1.5 years. And when I left him, I ran into an old fling of mine. And 2 weeks later, we ran off to Vegas and got married. So I was engaged to one guy, and then 2 weeks later got married to another. So I would say at that point in my life, I was 30 years old. I was very lost. And it was what I needed to wake me up, because it was the most abusive of them all. So I was always with guys who were abusive in one way or another, you know, either lying or just not available, manipulative or cold. This one just was the worst of them all, but it was so bad. It made me just like really, it had to get really bad. I left after 3 months. But I was enduring it for 3 months because I said, oh yeah, he's exactly like my father. And I said, I know how to handle this, you know, and the excuses that I had to stay in it to prove that I didn't make a mistake, really. And
That's interesting. You know, it's interesting. You said, you know, the excuses you made about their behavior, but so I didn't have to admit my mistake. I mean, and how many women we go into that. I did that. I didn't use those words, but it was really the essence of it. I think I was in so much shame. It's like, I've got to make this work, right? It's the same thing. We don't want, it was like, we can make it work. And this can't be, I can't make a mistake, but I will ruin my whole life just so my ego doesn't get hurt, right? I mean, it's amazing. And how you say you had to wake up. Of course, you can say those words now. Then it wasn't quite so obvious, but I want the listener to hear, it's like, aha, this is what's happening or what happened. It's like, this is, listen here, listen up.
Yeah. And so, you know, at that point, I had such low self-esteem and self-worth and so much shame. And the shame is what got me into that relationship and and stayed in it. And luckily, he got so bad. So, I mean, it was bad every night, you know, screaming and yelling and blaming. And it was a lot of just alcohol and drugs and just really dysfunctional and passionate and all of that. And he wanted me to stop. I had a corporate sales job. I was one of the top three in a Fortune 500 company. I was top three salesperson in the country. So I was really successful, but during those 3 months of being married, he wanted control over me and didn't want me to work and all of that. So luckily for me, he got really bad really quickly. So I left because I was afraid for my life the day that I left, and I had to call the cops and file a restraining order. And he just kept getting more crazy. And so that in that moment when I left, I actually turned within for the first time in my life. So that was my moment of awakening of saying, what made me choose him? And that's what I wasn't blaming him. I was said, there's a reason why I'm choosing guys that are obviously not good for me. And I was always the one that all of my friends came to for advice for relationships. And I could always see what dysfunctional relationships.
So they came to you for advice.
Yes.
And you could see, and you could explain to them what a dysfunctional relationship was. Okay. wanted to clarify. I know it's interesting, right?
Yeah. So I was always encouraging them to leave dysfunctional relationships. And, you know, I obviously couldn't see my own. And then I realized, you know, there must be a blind spot I have. And I realized I needed more than therapy. I actually knew in that moment that I needed some subconscious, deeper work of what's causing me subconsciously to choose them. There's a deeper thing driving me. And so I went in the experiential therapy that I do now, I think is, you know, this was the first introduction to that was after leaving him, and it changed my life. I went to this workshop and we did psychodrama and deep kind of experiential processes to work out the pattern. And I was not ready to do a lot around my parents yet, but I connected to my inner child in that first workshop that I did. And in that, I was guided that I am my own authority and I am going to take care of my inner child now and not look to men to do that, because my father was dominant and was making all the decisions, and I had to, and everyone in the house had to do what he wanted and be, you know, feel how he wanted to feel, or stuff our feelings for him. So I learned to continue to do that subconsciously. And then that kind of, I said, wow, there's so much that I don't know that I wanted to continue discovering about myself that I didn't know. And that just led me on this journey of healing for the past 16 years. And the past 6 years, I started my business 13 years ago. But I still had a lot more healing to do. And and then I finally got to what I needed to heal from those relationships and so much more 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting how one that when there's parents involved, how it just continues to go down the generation. I mean, this is sort of like my mission, that we just to be the disruptor of that, just to stop that pattern, because most often the offspring, not always, but more often than not, the offspring will either become abused or be abusers, because that's what they know. They don't see anything, so they don't know that's not how it is, even though you may subconsciously feel you weren't really happy there, but you're still, you don't, your brain is still directing you towards what you know. And yeah. I just think it's so important, the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing, to create that awareness so that we don't continue. And you know how you're working with your inner child, which we'll get into in a little bit, of that healing process. And it's just a journey. I was just reading this morning that we're just in constant healing process. So something will come up. It's like, but now we're aware. It's like, oh, okay, that needs to be healed. So it's not a straight line going up. It's, you know, little dips. And I just say the dip is kind of like, oh, that's my time to really reflect and see what's going on, as opposed to something's wrong with me. I don't yes. think that anymore, right? We think something's wrong with us, but we still need that healing. So
yes, yeah. Healing happens over our whole life, you know, and it has to come up in layers over time. You know, we can't deal with everything at once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can't deal with everything at once. Heavens forbid. And, but still, just it makes, when I think about it, I tell you, it just makes me so angry that how one person who is totally oblivious to his behavior, or oblivious enough to not even be able to change or want to change, and then there's just this whole wake of destruction that he creates that impacts somebody's life for the rest of their life, right? Yours, mine, and everybody else's. Mm-hmm. I can go into the compassionate side where they have their own set of problems, but we're not here to deal with them and to fix them, right? We can only work on ourselves. And that's what you were saying. Mm-hmm. So what were some of your maybe self-care and really going deep? What did you do?
In order to first go deep, I actually was taking a lot of the work. That first workshop that I told you about was so impactful that I said, you know, I'm going to take everything that they offer. So I actually did experiential courses, even a year and a half long course with the center in Atlanta for 4 years straight. Mm-hmm. And during that, all of those processes, they encouraged us to journal. And I had a real avoidance of journaling. I just did not want to do it. And, you know, that was me not wanting to go deep, you know, not feeling mm-hmm. safe with mm-hmm. whatever I could get in touch with, you know, not consciously. I wasn't thinking that, but mm-hmm. I just had a block with journaling. And so I had the awareness at that moment. I said, well, that means I really need it. It really helped kind of release a lot of the falseness that was created from the wounds of my perfectionist, the overachiever, doing what my dad wanted to meet. And so all that started going away, and I started opening up to really what I wanted to do. And I couldn't function in corporate sales anymore. So I, at one point, was doing a proposal, which was something I used to love to do, and I was crying. And so I just walked out of the office and I never went back. And that was the day before I was turning 33. There's always these significant like numbers and ages. Yeah. And then I trusted that whatever I was meant to do would come to me. And the next month, my birthday month, and right before Christmas, there was an email that came to me, and it said, do you want to help people know themselves and take care of themselves? Like be, you know, empower people to do that. And I was like, yeah, I had already thought of like a name for my business back then. This was 13 years ago, 6 months prior, called ePower Me. My name's spelled with an E, so it was all these, you know, mm-hmm. names, things, associations. And then it said empowerment, and I was like, yeah. And it said become a journaling facilitator. I said, well, that's it. I said, you know, I have this block with journaling. This would help me do it and help me move into what I want to do. So yeah, it was perfect. journaling has been really the foundation for everything that I've done. It was what helped me, you know, with self-awareness and healing for many, many years and creating my business even. So journaling was the thing that helped me go deeper and deeper and deeper. And ever since I've created everything that I've created has always come with a journaling that I've created journaling worksheets and things to help other people get in touch with thoughts and feelings that have been repressed.
Oh, that is amazing. From I can't stand journaling, you know, to like, I'm all about journaling.
I'm going to teach it. I don't like it. I'm going to learn to teach it. Yeah.
It's interesting too, how you were saying that there came a moment where you didn't like sales anymore. You didn't want to have anything to do with sales. And that's what happened to me when I was doing my other business. I came to a point where all of a sudden I just hated my business, this old one. And I'm going, okay, what's going on here? You know, and it was just the opening of the path, the work that I'm doing now. But that's, you had sort of the same thing, maybe a little even more dramatic than I did. And I love that.
Dramatic would actually describe a lot of how I used to live and function in the world.
What was part of your process for really, I would say, like really owning your own truth? Like really now I know who I am.
Yeah, that happened. And as you may also know and experience over a lot of, I mean, it keeps happening, but over time, but owning my own truth, it did take longer than even getting in, following my guidance, you know, that started getting clearer first. So that's sort of true. I mean, that is my own truth as well, but there was still a very strong wounded part of me at the same, this is what I'm explaining now is kind of like how people can have strong intuition and guidance, but still be very wounded. And that's what happened with me. And so I was on this healing journey and I sold everything that I owned when I was 34 to follow this calling I had to go to Thailand. I had never been there. So I only packed two suitcases and that's all I owned. I got rid of everything else. So dramatic, another thing dramatic. And then I, you know, I was on this path and I kept on following my guidance and doing healing on myself. And I was a consultant for healing centers and people and going to Thailand and all of this stuff. So I was in my bliss and doing what I loved, but I wasn't really in my truth, like personally, like my personal power and relational, you know, relationally as well, where I was still coming from a wounded place where I was driven to succeed and prove myself and be needed and all of this. So I wouldn't say I was really in my truth at that point. And it took a lot of healing. I did a lot of healing when I was in Thailand for 3 years. I went back to the US and worked with the healing community in San Francisco to help them with marketing and with a directory because I had to get away from working with people with healing because I still was in a lot of wounds at that point. It was beneficial for me to be in that community because I was healing as well. And more stuff got brought up. And actually the deeper stuff got brought up at that point when I was in San Francisco, I left the safety of the island in Thailand and then really went back into the fire, you know, with being in contact with family and not being successful yet and feeling really wounded and not being able to do anything or make anything happen. I had no money and I was struggling, but I was still searching and I was doing everything I could to feel better and to keep healing. And I was struggling and I was suffering a lot. So it wasn't until, you know, I got back to Atlanta working with a client and I got into another narcissistic relationship after being single for 7 years. That was my last one. And I still was a kind of in and out of my truth at that point where I was like, I knew what I wanted, but I was still letting this old wounded part call the shots and I was making the wrong choices for myself and being with him, giving my power away to him and letting him make decisions for me, even though, you know, so I was kind of disconnected from myself at that point. And that's when my symptoms flared up. Mm. And so my candida symptoms and my bloating showed me that I was in this wound and trigger with this relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was that was like, okay, you really still need to heal this. And then I ended up doing the deeper inner child healing and helping my inner child feel truly loved and that I deserve to be loved and supported. And I, you know, did more emotional releasing and anger and closed the door on that guy and really was starting to just really embracing myself and accepting and loving myself more. And my inner child started to come out. And I think that was the point when I really felt connected to my truth. Because no matter what people said, I knew it was right. And I wasn't able to, I wasn't being swayed and things. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, because just to show what a journey it was. Now, did you have candida symptoms before? You know, has that been sort of
my whole life?
Your whole life. Yes. So you've had, and then now with this fine, well, I don't want to say final healing, but with this major awareness.
Yeah. So that major awareness that it was emotional was really about the symptoms, was about how I was disconnected and not taking care of my feelings or listening to them. So I had to take care of more of my wounded child and my feelings from the past, but also listen to what I needed and in the present and protect myself and value myself more about what I was allowing. And so it was all of that. And because I then allowed myself and I felt safe feeling my feelings and I was taking care of them, my symptoms went away forever. And so did my emotional eating at that same time. I thought I would always be an emotional eater, but that was only a symptom of, you know, the emotions I wasn't taking care of or listening to. Yeah. And being with someone who wasn't good for me and trying to feel better with all the wounds that were getting triggered that I had to heal as well. So it was all of those things. But from that point on, it's just feelings come up. There's no, you know, I'm totally connected to my feelings. Yeah. Not all of them. Obviously there's been repression that comes up over time and triggers and more healing that happened, but the feeling safe and loved within was what helped me heal that big piece that I was getting chronic symptoms, and those went away. And then I met Doug 3 months later.
Yeah, so. Isn't that interesting? I know, I can hear my parallel story too. I want to ask you, for maybe some of the listeners who don't really know what the symptoms are of candida, can you just share what that is so they can say, oh, that's what I'm experiencing too.
Yeah. And I always say this, it's never about candida or if you have candida, because actually I have a blog that's called, is it candida or emotional trauma? Because a lot of the emotional trauma and emotional symptoms can also, people say, oh, well then I must have candida, and you don't have to have candida to have these symptoms. But the typical symptoms that are related to a yeast overgrowth is yeast infections, chronic BV and UTIs, so a lot of infections, and bloating and digestive issues, which can be related to other things. But mine that lasted, that never went away, were the yeast infections and bloating. That kind of really flared up when I was with the last narcissist. But I had, like when I was a child, I had chronic strep throat, is also related. So I had strep throat every year on my birthday, which was a sign.
Interesting. Yeah. Really interesting.
Yeah. And then just getting sick, like flus easily. And yeah, I had like throat problems, but there's other things. I work with a lot of people who get rashes a lot or skin conditions. There's all kinds of different things, but I had a hypothyroidism as well, that cleared as well. So,
yeah, I interview obviously a lot of women, and I have found that by far, you know, there is exception rather than the rule, that they have not had some major physical health issue, a medical health issue. I had fibromyalgia, I had hysterectomy, I've had women who've had Hashimoto's disease, breast cancer, uterine cancer. And it's kind of interesting where it kind of, you know, you had strep throat, right? You know, where you talk, right? The thyroid.
Or you can't talk.
Well, that's what I mean, where you can't talk, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to put, because I love to see these patterns.
Yes.
The parts of the body that are really affected in a woman when she is being abused in some shape or form.
Yeah.
And even like, I think my hair started.
Mine too.
Something was going on. Every episode, I offer a mini masterclass on the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. You can get the guidebook to all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars right now. Simply go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and hit the subscribe button to get your copy. The only way to move forward and have an impact in your life is to get awareness of where you're at and discover what's holding you back. Following the 11 pillars, I was then able to develop strategies to create my business, become an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, and author, find the love of my life, and I use these pillars every day to create a fulfilled life. These are the same ones that I use with my clients. And now they are yours free. Go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe. And we're back with Alicia Miller, founder of Core Emotional Healing and a Candida expert.
When we reject our feminine, even, you know, we're not honoring it. We're allowing people to mistreat us. Yeah, it's the ovaries, reproductive area,
right.
digestion, yeah. Breasts.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. I got to a point, God, I just can't do anything with my hair. So I cut it short. And so my husband at the time, he would call me.
Yeah.
And it's only been since I've been with the love of my life, I've been able to grow my hair again.
Yay!
I have my curls and everything back. And
yeah, in Thailand, my hair was falling out as well. And I ended up shaving it. Mm-hmm. So I shaved my head bald. Mm-hmm. And that was also a part of me kind of releasing this attachment I had to needing
another
my
dramatic.
Hair. Yeah, another dramatic thing where I said, oh my God, I was freaking out. My hair is falling out. And I literally went, I need to shave my head. I witnessed myself freaking out. I was like, oh, come on. And so I shaved it so I could, it doesn't matter how I look, you know, and that really did help actually. But yeah.
And I'm going to guess, you correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to guess that your marriage is drama free.
Oh, no.
No, it's still continuing. My relationship is drama for you. Still got-
we decided to actually, you know, be more drama. Now, he was the first person that I have ever felt truly loved and supported by. Mm. So no matter how much that we have to go through personally or together, we had to heal more together. And so our relationship was one of those transformational ones that we have such a strong container of safety and love, like neither one of us have ever experienced, that it actually brought up the deepest wounds with both of us that kept getting triggered. So we are both very emotional. That's why we do emotional healing. And we're very intense people and very strong-willed. So both of us. And so we have gone through many stages of healing deep wounds that we would get triggered. But no matter how intense it was, and it's not, I wouldn't say drama, and it doesn't carry on. It's just going through like a short period of something coming up to be healed or worked through. And we always work it through. So we've been just completely committed to working through anything that comes up for us.
And I think that is one of the hallmarks of a really healthy relationship is recognizing whatever it is. And then just having that commitment that you're going to work it through. In an unhealthy relationship, there's usually that one person, the narcissist, who doesn't even consider about working it through. So
no,
it's just impossible to have a healthy relationship with somebody like that. And then when you get with somebody who deeply loves you and you feel this deep love, and it's like, well, of course we're just going to work it out. It's just almost a given. Doesn't mean that the process isn't easy, because when you get into a healthy relationship, there's new triggers, right?
Yeah.
At least there was for me. It's like, this kindness thing, you know, this is really my primary values. And it's like, whoa, I don't know if I could trust it, right? But he was always very consistent of being really good and true and kind. If he said one little thing, like I had my boxing gloves on, okay?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah.
Hold on to my truth, right? And he was like, okay, lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Accepting, trusting and accepting support mm-hmm. when you've never been supported is,
yes.
Oh, you know, like just don't help me or don't tell me, you know, cause I got this cause that's how it's always been, you know?
And it's important for women to recognize cause then they think, oh, well it's them, but no, you really are in a healthy relationship. It's just that you have to learn how to receive the kindness and the goodness and the love because it feels weird, right?
Yeah.
All those good things feel weird because our brain is thinking, yeah, I don't know what this thing is. I was only used to all the bad stuff. And that's right. All the healing that we do helps us go through that.
Yeah. And we do bring in the old stuff that can be projected on, like when it's not really happening, but we're so used to that not happening. Like, you're not listening to me. It's like, well, actually, I'll always listen to you. I'm like, oh yeah, you're just busy right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, that's the old people, the other people.
Right. And it's important to be aware of those patterns and to know what is real and what isn't real, whether this is somebody who's not loving me and respecting me. And it's just like, yeah, I'm just busy right now.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's like, yeah, that's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not my father or my past relationships.
So what is maybe one key thing maybe that you maybe teach your clients or that you've gone through yourself that you can offer to, you know, to share one more, you know, juicy tip to help women take that step forward?
I think the most beneficial, as I mentioned, is the connection to the inner child. Mm-hmm. Because especially if there's a repeated pattern from childhood, to be aware that the reason why we get into relationships that aren't good for us is because we're still looking for love from a parent that really wasn't loving and safe for us or really truly supporting us. Mm-hmm. So we still have those unmet needs that we try to get met through someone who's like the person that didn't give us what we needed. When it's actually ourselves that we need to give that to ourselves. And I love inner child work so much because it's so powerful, because oftentimes when things don't shift, it's because we're still living out the patterns from our past. And there's still a lot of unmet needs that we need to give our inner child that will then shift into really truly feeling that being deserving of something completely different than we've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. So that is this, it's going to be uncomfortable. As you said, like being with a nice person may feel uncomfortable, or it's missing that passion, you know, or that we think that's love, but that's not really love. But yeah, so working with the inner child has been the most powerful and loving. The inner child who doesn't feel lovable that tends to go to people who treats us the same way and creates the same not feeling lovable that proves, well, I see with a lot of women that says, well, you know, I always attracted the same type of man. This is just my lot in life, or that's, you know, like kind of giving up on it. Mm-hmm. So just like just seeing how that is just like the symptoms, the emotional patterns, I mean, the emotional triggers in relationships, but also the patterns in relationship all point to unmet needs and emotional healing that's still needed as well.
That's helpful because now they can start to reflect, oh, okay, is that what's really going on? Because I think the biggest fear for all of us who've been in those relationships is, oh my God, I don't want to get into another one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get into another one. I've got to figure out how I'm not going to get into another one. And that's such a good way. Yeah, I do work on inner child work too. I just think it's because it's been powerful for me as well. And I just think it's an easy way. It's like you can't go wrong with it in a way. You know, with doing the inner child work, it's really helpful no matter what. And I think there's just so many good, healthy modalities for women to experience and to learn from.
Yeah.
So based on that, you know, just as a good segue is like, why don't you, you know, if you can tell us a little bit more how people can find out about you and maybe a gift that you're offering our listener.
Yes. Great. They can find out about core emotional healing. That's the process that I developed and my husband further developed with me. And we work together with groups, small groups online with moving groups through the process. And that's really what takes a lot of support, getting through a lot of the blind spots and things that we're not aware of. But on my website, Elicia, E-L-I-C-I-A, Miller.com is everything about core emotional healing and the process and the things that we offer. And the free gift is my website, aliciamiller.com/healcandida, which actually, again, not so much about candida, but it's about the emotional root cause and how to fully heal from symptoms and patterns.
Mm. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you for
such a great thing that you're also, you know, your husband's now working with you and doing all this healing work. It's good to have women know that there are kind men out there.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Our clients say they were their spiritual parents. So they're healing their wounded inner children with us that are, you know, helping them heal from parents who are not present, who now they're healing with ideal, but you know, parental role figures.
Yeah. Oh, that is really nice. Final question is, what does love is kind mean to you, Elicia?
Love is kind means to care enough to for ourselves and for others, no matter even when it doesn't feel kind. So in relationships, when it's safe, when a relationship is, as I described, like safe and the both partners are caring about the other person, even when it's hard or even when there's triggers. So we, you know, tend to always have emotional triggers from baggage from the past and unhealed wounds. So even when it feels hard and triggering to it, even to be together and to work it out, it, to me is being kind, being able to hold it and care even when we're hurt. So my husband actually said something recently, it's to trust love, even in fear.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like these wounds that get triggered, but you still have to remind yourself that you are loved and in love. And it's not the past. This is different. Mm-hmm. And this is a healing process.
Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Rosie, for what you're doing and all of the skills and awareness that you bring to your clients is so important, especially before getting into another relationship.
Right.
So I love what you're doing. Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com. The podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.